What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I write for the Viking Age Zone Coverage. Bring me the news and the Brookings Register. My co-host is Adam Patrick, who is the managing editor of the Viking Age. And we do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. Adam, Super Bowl was last night and heck of a game. Kansas City Chiefs won in overtime. Let's start easy. What was your biggest takeaway from the Super Bowl last night?
Patrick Mahomes just isn't fair. It's just, why can't everybody do that? Because I always see like, What's your, like you asked, what's your biggest takeaway? Draft Patrick Mahomes, I guess, because you could be the Niners and pretty much do almost everything right, have, you know, a really talented team on both sides of the ball, and you're still going to lose to Patrick Mahomes because he's just going to find a way to win at the end of the day. So, yeah, it was a weird game because it was boring, pretty boring at first. Like, first half was pretty boring. And then second half kind of picked up, especially in the fourth quarter. Then overtime was probably the most exciting part of the game. But yeah, Patrick Mahomes, like, people might hate him. People might think he's an asshole. People might think he's too cocky or whatever. I wish my team had a cocky asshole quarterback who won 3 Super Bowls in the last 4 years. So yeah, Patrick Mahomes, he's really, really, really good. And also Andy Reid's really good coach. So I don't want to take anything away from that because he's also a really good coach. But yeah, Patrick Mahomes, breaking news here, but he's a really good quarterback.
Yeah, he's good at football. It's amazing what happens when you take a stab, whether, you know, analysts sit there and they go, well, his footwork isn't that good. And I grinded the tape and I looked at everything and I don't think he'll translate. Yeah, he is. You're going to hear a lot of wrestling terms from Adam and I here in the coming weeks with WrestleMania coming up, but Patrick Mahomes is the head of the table. Like, every time you think he's vulnerable or whatever, you know, there's, you know, the solo spike, so to speak, coming out of nowhere, and Patrick Mahomes just finds a way to win. And that's basically it. I mean, you look at this game and you had the San Francisco 49ers with all pro talent everywhere. They had one of the best coaches in the NFL. They have all pro running back, all pro receivers, all pro tight ends, all pro defense, just a ridiculous amount of talent. And it didn't matter because Patrick Mahomes was on the sideline with a whole bunch of other jobbers. Nobody on that team did anything outside of Patrick Mahomes last night. Pacheco was Isaiah Pacheco. Yeah, he was fine. Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce. He didn't really do too much.
Is he dating anybody?
Huh? Yeah, he might be dating. You know what? And I did see there's some tweet making the rounds who is just like, I'm not watching because Taylor Swift has saved my love of football. It's like, all right, if you care that much, like, you know, I've been vocal about it, but it's nothing against her. It's against Travis Kelce.
I was going to say,
I hate Travis Kelce.
I was going to make sure to bring this up at some point in the show that We know your disdain for Travis Kelce has been made very clear. But if we have to have Travis Kelce to get Jason Kelce, I think that's a pretty good trade-off. Because did you see some of the videos from him partying last night wearing like a Rey Mysterio mask? And
yes.
So I think that's a fair trade.
Jason Kelce is the better of the two. Like, I don't know. Travis Kelce's just on the stage at the end. He's like, Viva Las Vegas! Ah! And like, they show Taylor and she's just like, okay.
But like I said,
it's fun.
I want guys like that if they're going to win three Super Bowls in the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah, go right ahead and do whatever you want as long as you're not hurting people or, you know, ruining people's lives. Well, I guess Travis Kelce is ruining some people's lives with who he's dating. But yeah, do whatever you want. If you're that good, you can be that way, which is why Tom Brady was kind of the way he was too towards the end. He's like, yeah, I have 7 rings. I'm good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
When the other thing that it kind of points out to me is that the Vikings have so much work to do to be a Super Bowl team. Like again, this San Francisco 49ers team was like the fucking Avengers and it didn't matter. Like Patrick Mahomes just looked at him like, all right, cool. I'm just going to go lead a game winning drive in the Super Bowl. Like Brock Purdy let a freaking go ahead drive in overtime and it still didn't matter. So when you look at and I know some people are like, well, we beat the 49ers back in October. Again, I'm going to bring up the asterisk because Christian McCaffrey was 50%. Deebo Samuel did not play. And Trent Williams did not play.
Trent Richardson didn't play either.
Yeah. Trent Richardson. Christian McCaffrey was Trent Richardson in that game pretty much.
Christian Ponder didn't play either.
And Brock Purdy was basically concussed from what we learned later.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, there's just so much and we're going to get into needs later. But I mean, now that the Super Bowl is over, it's like, gotta roll up your sleeves because it's time to work if you want this team to be a big boy team, so to speak.
Yeah. And then if they do get it all figured out, then you still have to probably face the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. So like as much as you build up your team or, you know, think you've got what it takes to compete for a championship, you still have Patrick Mahomes is the final boss. Like you still have to go through him. And only one team in the Super Bowl has been able to do that so far, and that was the Bucs. I thought yesterday was interesting because it looked kind of similar to what the Bucs were doing against the Chiefs in that one Super Bowl where the Niners were giving them a lot of pressure. But then came the second half and it looked like the Chiefs kind of learned from that game where they had a lot more plays to make production, obviously, to stifle the pressure of the 49ers. But yeah, the Vikings, they got they don't even know who's going to be the quarterback next year.
Yeah. So,
that's kind of important. They got a lot to do. I think I would like to hope they have the right coach moving forward. I think he's got a good idea of what needs to happen. I don't know how long it'll last. And then, you know, more rumors are being brought up about, you know, trading Justin Jefferson, maybe, you know, people keep bringing that up. They're questioning, you know, do you need to pay a receiver over $30 million? You know, the Chiefs just the 2 years after they traded Tyreek Hill, they won the Super Bowl both times. Of course, they have Patrick Mahomes as well. So if you trade Justin Jefferson, you better just make sure you have Patrick Mahomes first, too. So that's kind of throws a wrench into that plan. But yeah, there's just a lot of work offensively, defensively, special teams. There's a lot of work to do. And I don't even know. And all the other teams in their division are going to do work too. So I don't even know, like, if they do everything they possibly can, are they even still going to be better than third or fourth in the NFC North next year?
And that's where it starts. I mean, it's basically starting around the quarterback position because while Brock Purdy and Patrick Mahomes were starring in the Super Bowl, Kirk Cousins was starring around it, baby, because that dude was everywhere. By the way, before we get into our Radio Row discussion here, Adam actually had a video on the Viking Age YouTube channel with Jordan Addison. So I go ahead, check that out. How was your talk with Jordan Addison, by the way?
It was good. He's cool. Talked about Sleep Number. That's who he was repping and how important sleep is. But no, we talked about Kirk Cousins and talked about how he thinks he's underrated and he wants him back. Just like we heard from a lot of players, Vikings players this past week that they want Kirk back. I think Alexander Madison said he's praying that Kirk Cousins comes back. And then I casually mentioned, you know, hey, what if Kirk leaves and the Vikings somehow manage to get in position to draft Caleb Williams? You know, that guy used to play with in college. How do you think about that? And he'd be like, whew, it'd be a scary offense. We had Caleb Williams back there throwing to me, JJ, TJ Hawkinson. So that's some fun stuff. Talked about, you know, how different it was being on the field without Justin Jefferson and what he saw from defenses, you know, how much different it was without him on the field and with him on the field, and just some interesting stuff. So yeah, go check that out.
Yeah. And while you were talking to Jordan Addison and Alexander Mattison, Kirk Cousins was talking to just about everybody else. he showed off his scar on Pat McAfee. Like, you want to see how I got these scars? And it's just this big thing over there. He told Mike Florio he wants to play a few more years, which that interview was kind of weird because Mike Florio has been like, I don't really want Kirk Cousins. He takes Tuesday off. And then he's there. He's like, oh, man, I hope we bring you back, Kirk. Like,
yeah, that was weird because, I don't know if that's a result of like Nick Mullins playing and Josh Dobbs. And now he's just like, oh, we just give Kirk Cousins whatever he wants because he's just so much better, which is not the way you should be thinking. But yeah, Kirk Cousins was everywhere, man. He was on, like you said, McAfee, Florio. What else was he on? He was on something else too. He was on NFL Network with KJ talking about, he was in NFL Honors doing his thing this year, dancing with the Magic Mike crew.
Magic Kirko.
He didn't take his shirt off. I was kind of surprised by that. I was like, you got stuff to show off.
Are you surprised the Wolves weren't like on the stage, just like throwing money at it? Yeah, here we go. Guaranteed money. Yeah.
I mean, Kwesi was probably like, dude, if you get hurt, like, I'm going to be so pissed. I don't want to say
it would be funny if he like tweaked it again, but like, just be like, oh my God.
And then Aaron Rodgers is sitting at home like, I could have done that. I could have done that, but I decided not to. Because, you know, got to go to the cave or something. Kirko everywhere. And he was really careful to kind of just dance around pretty much every time anyone was like, so what's going to happen next year? Where are you going? He's like, pretty much every time he's like, well, discussions don't begin until March, which is not true. And, you know, we'll see what happens when it happens. I think the most interesting thing I heard was, I think he was talking to, when he was talking to Florio, him and KJ, when they were together, they were talking about how, like, the chemistry they've built up over the last 4 years. And then Kirk was like, well, and then, you know, you build all that chemistry up and then you get to free agency and it's, you know, it's gone. And I'm like, but why is it gone? Does that mean you're not coming back? Is that why? And it's been fun to see, too, all the reports come out in the last few days, too, from like Pelissero and Rappaport and all them being like, oh, the Vikings want to re-sign Kirk Cousins, but it has to be at the right price. It's a nice little back and forth we've had going on here between Kirk Cousins camp and the Vikings.
Does this remind you of the Thielen thing? Like a little bit?
A little bit. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like Adam Thielen like ran around. He's like, I still got a lot of game left and, you know, I really could help a team and blah, blah, blah. And then he winds up signing with the Panthers. Like, Kirk going around being like, well, we'll see what happens in March. And, you know, they want to. And I mean, the Vikings aren't going to come out and say, no, dude, we're sick of Kirk. Like, we have one playoff win in 6 years. Like, it's time to move on. They're going to be like, we're going to try and bring him back. We're going to try and do this. You know, I mean, at this point, I've said it before. And if you want our full take on Kirk Cousins, you can go back. We have the great debate of Kirk Cousins 2024 on our YouTube channel, where we lay out everything, positives, negatives, what if he comes back and everything else, so we don't have to do it all the time. But I mean, it just feels like, you know, he's auditioning right now for that role. And I mean, I've said it before, I don't think he fits with this team anymore. Everybody says he does, but I mean, paying that much and having the holes that you have on this roster, like, I just don't think you can move ahead.
It's just not smart business. Right. You know, Kwesi comes from Wall Street and has a business background, and it's not smart business. He wouldn't invest in like an old beat up car. Not saying that Kirk Cousins is beat up. Well, kind of, he's coming off an Achilles injury, but like, you wouldn't put a bunch of money in an old beat up car when you could, you know, get one that's maybe younger and has less miles on it and get it for a little cheaper. I don't think Kirk Cousins does that whole Super Bowl Radio Row media tour if he doesn't think like there's a pretty good chance he's leaving. I don't think he does all that, because it felt like, yeah, he was selling himself to the public, making sure that everyone knows, like, he's this great, happy-go-lucky, loving guy, and he just wants to get, he can't wait to get back for OTAs and have fun and get on the field and just throw to all his receivers. So yeah, if he felt like there was a good chance of coming back, because I don't remember him. Well, never mind, because I was going to say, I don't remember him doing this in 2020, but nobody did anything.
Yeah. Well, going back to when the Super Bowl was here, when he was a free agent, he did the media radio tour as well. And then the Vikings gave him that secret tour of the
tampering.
You know, he's like, hey, what is this? Yeah, exactly. You think he rode around with Mark Davis? Like, hey, if you want a bowl cut, I know they're best place to get one in Vegas. Yeah. Just put it on the head and trim around it.
One last thing about Cousins. Did you see the report? I think it was from Schefter yesterday, how he like tied Brock Purdy and Patrick Mahomes together, and how like the Niners not drafting Mahomes led them to get eventually to Purdy. But the thing that they mentioned was the Niners didn't scout Patrick Mahomes when they had the number two pick in 2017, because they thought they could sign Kirk Cousins in the 2018 offseason. I'm just sitting there like, what? They didn't want to draft a quarterback and take advantage of a rookie contract because they wanted to give Kirk Cousins, you know, what do you get, $84 million fully guaranteed?
Yeah, that's 3 years, 84. Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense at all. That was just a weird, weird story.
It's almost like in draft day where, like, they have Bo Callahan and, like, they didn't scout him before, like, they made the trade. They're like, all right, we got to look at this guy because we didn't even look at him. So, a couple more weeks and we'll be firing that bad boy up. Great movie. I don't know. Maybe if we get bored, we can do a rewatchables or something.
Light emphasis on the great part.
Yes. Oh, come on. It's, you know, some classic movies, it's not cinema. I would not judge it as cinema, but it's such a shit show that it's enjoyable. Like, there are movies that, like, Step Brothers. Step Brothers is a shit show, and it's like one of the funniest movies.
Yeah.
Is that cinema? Is Step Brother? What is your definition
to
of
me?
Cinema?
Those are the movies I like. I don't really care about if it wins an award or not. Like, that's a Super Bad, Step Brothers, Old School, 4-Year-Old Virgin. I don't care if they win awards. I'll watch them all day.
Cinema. Speaking of stuff to watch, Justin Jefferson says he wants to break the bank this offseason. JJ was talking at some Radio Row interviews. I believe this one was Adam Schein, and he said, I want to break the bank and I want to be part of an organization that wants me and really gives me what I deserve. I feel like eventually the Vikings will do that and they need to do what they need to do to have me in the building. But I don't really know at this morning. Only time will tell. Tom Pelissero, in this long notebook on Sunday morning that he dropped with Martin Garofolo and Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, said that Jefferson wants the answer on a quarterback position before he signs a new deal. We know he likes Kirk. Seems like everybody does, like you mentioned it. Pelissero also mentioned the possibility that they could wind up signing Sam Darnold. And that notebook also contains some names, not specifically to the Vikings, but Russell Wilson, Jimmy Garoppolo, Justin Fields, Baker Mayfield. They could all be available at some point. But what do you think about Sam Darnold potentially being the Vikings quarterback?
I think if they do that, they're trading up and drafting a quarterback. I don't think there's any other. You can't go in the next season. Justin Jefferson's not signing an extension if you're like, oh, we're going to roll with Sam Darnold as our starting quarterback. We think he can just turn things around. No. So you would bring in Sam Darnold because he's familiar with the scheme, because he was just with Shanahan. And he would be a solid backup. It's kind of like when, remember when the Bears signed Andy Dalton and they put out like the big QB1 graphic, and then like a few weeks later they drafted Justin Fields because everyone knew that was going to happen. It's just like that. Yeah. If they sign, I like how people were freaking out. They're like, oh no, Sam Darnold, he's going to be the start. No, they wouldn't bring him in to be the start. Okay. And then people were like, well, let's just keep Nick Mullins in. And it's like, Nick Mullins isn't good. Yeah. Okay, he can chuck it around, but he threw 4 interceptions in one game last year. Like, they could have beat the Lions if he threw one less interception. But yeah, I'm not freaking out about Sam Darnold because I don't think they would bring him in to be the starter. I would like to. If they do bring him in to be the starter, then I would hope that Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah's jobs are on the line, because that would be a horrendous decision. But yeah, I'm not worried about Sam Darnold coming at all.
Sam Darnold would be the house of cards, right? So you sign him. And Pelissero said this in his report that it would be a situation where they would sign him. Hope he's this year's Baker Mayfield as a guy whose stock isn't very high. Well, I, in theory.
No, I know. I knew you didn't say this. He said this.
Yes. But I mean, the theory is that his stock is low. You bring him in, maybe he exceeds expectations. You compete a little bit. And then you got a rookie in the incubator behind him. So you can cultivate J.J. McCarthy or Jane Daniels or whoever you want to bring in. Otherwise, you sign Sam Darnold as a house of cards for the right. So like you go to training camp, maybe, you know, Jaden Daniels, it looks really good. And you say, all right, that's your competition. Go beat him. And he easily beats him. And he's the starter day one. Like that is basically what you, I mean, that's what I think the Vikings should do if they don't want to keep Kirk Cousins. I think they should sign a veteran. You know, we've brought up more attractive names on this show. Like Ryan Tannehill was a name. You know,
sounds like he's going to the Steelers though, probably.
Yeah. I also heard they want to run it back with Kenny Pickett too, which that's odd.
I think I saw Justin Fields thrown in the Steelers rumor mill today too, because Mike Tomlin apparently likes him. That'll be interesting too, see what they do. I think both of those teams are gonna be paying attention to each other to see what the other one does.
And I think Sam Darnold's just like a negatively charged name because the Jets, and he saw ghosts on Monday Night Football and everything. Like, yeah, I mean, if it was like Gardner Minshew, everybody would be like, all right, cool. I guess Gardner Minshew. Yeah, at least he's funny, right?
Like, yeah, the thing with Darnold, and I made that face when you talked about what Pelissero said, how he could be this year's Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was like, he had a successful season or two before last year. Sam Darnold has never had a successful season. Now, he was with the Jets, so like it's impossible to be successful pretty much with the Jets. I think Patrick Mahomes probably would have even failed if he went there. But yeah, Sam Darnold has never, ever been successful in the NFL, and maybe that's because of coaching and stuff, because we've seen, what, like Geno Smith come turn around with the right coaches and stuff and put him in position to do well. So maybe that could be something that happens with Darnold. But again, if they're signing Sam Darnold, it's not to bring him in to be the starter. It's to bring him in to be, you know, a solid backup. Like, who did the Vikings sign Sean Hill before they drafted Teddy? Did they sign him?
Wasn't it Matt Castle?
Matt Castle was there.
Yeah.
He was already there. I think he was there 2013. And yeah, they might have re-signed him.
Okay.
Because I know that they had Ponder, Castle, and Teddy on the team at once. Wow, what a quarterback.
Yeah. So, that's the type of quarterback room people point at. Like, we'll just go back to that. It'll be awful.
I mean, they won the NFC North in 2015. So
yeah,
you get the right coach and team. It doesn't really matter. That. But yeah, like a signing like that is like you're signing a Sean Hill or signing Andy Dalton or something like that. It's like people freak out and they're like, oh, he's going to be our starter. It's like, no, he's not. He's brought in to help a rookie adjust to the NFL, show him some of the ropes, and then, you know, maybe step in if he asked. So,
well, in signing a veteran quarterback is one thing. The act of trading up is another, because it seems like general managers aren't very high on next year's quarterback class. So there might be a little more urgency this year. Dan Graziano of ESPN actually mentioned Patriots are thinking about trading out of number 3, and there's about 5 or 6 teams calling. He specifically mentioned the Vikings and the Falcons as teams looking to move up in the draft. Pelissero's notebook, and I think this might have been Garofalo or Rappaport reporting this, but they said the Patriots are seriously exploring taking one of the draft's top quarterbacks, which, again, we were talking about the Patrick Mahomes thing. They better be looking at quarterbacks, because I don't know. Well, we're not going to get Caleb Williams. Let's just save some time. We'll just kind of put that on the backboard burner. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think the Vikings have a chance of trading up? And if so, like, who's the quarterback you want?
Yeah, I think so. And I think if they do, it should be before probably free agency begins, because if they don't do that, then I think teams are going to know that they need a quarterback, especially if Kirk Cousins signs somewhere else. And they're going to be like, oh, well, I guess we'll give this to you, but you need to give us 3 first-round picks instead of 2. So I think if they want to trade up, it should be a move that's made. You know, you can make it a couple days before free agency begins. You think about when Kirk Cousins signed in 2018 with the Vikings. I think it was during, it might have been during the Super Bowl when the report came out that the Chiefs traded Alex Smith to the to Washington. And then Kirk was like, okay, I know I'm not going back there because they just traded for Alex Smith. So I think a similar move should be made like that before free agency begins, because if Kirk Cousins leaves and you're the Vikings and teams are going to know, you're going to be like, we need to trade up, and teams are going to be like, well, okay, so you're going to have to pay more. But I've heard the Raiders are interested in trading up. The Broncos are interested in trading up. I think they're both like right behind the Vikings in the draft, 12 and 13. Yeah, the Falcons. I mean, I wouldn't even be surprised if the Giants tried to get a quarterback. You know, I think they can get out Daniel Jones' contract within a year or two. So that could be something as well. I don't think it would be wise to wait until the draft and see if anyone falls. Although, you know, I'm sure you've heard and seen and listened to all the stuff about how Thor Nystrom likes J.J. McCarthy, and the Vikings would be fine if they got him. But it sounds like more people are picking on up on that as well, and they would take J.J. before, you know, he even got through 11 at the Vikings. So I think either way, the Vikings got to trade up, and I think they got to see how far they can get up. They're not going to trade with the Bears. You can rule that out. The Commanders, I don't know. I don't know what their plans are. I just wrote about something about how the Commanders could sign Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Because they got new ownership and new coach and all that fun stuff. But the Patriots, yeah, I think the Patriots are a team to keep an eye on for sure. Because they just have so many holes. And even if they draft a rookie quarterback, who's he throwing to? Who's protecting him? Who's he handing the ball off to? Like, they just have so many holes that putting a rookie quarterback back there probably isn't even the best decision. And that could be a team that signs Kirk Cousins too, because they have a ton of cap space. So the Patriots are the team, I think, to keep an eye on for sure, to trade up with.
Like, I think whoever the guy is, you just go get him. Like, yes. I don't want to do this whole sit at 11 and, oh no, all the quarterbacks seem to be gone. Right. I guess we'll just take an edge rusher. And I wouldn't be upset if they wound up with Dallas Turner or whatever. But I mean, if it comes out, you know, after like the Justin Fields thing, remember when he was drafted and then like a couple weeks later, there's this report that, well, Rick Spielman tried. Like, I don't want to hear, well, we tried to get a quarterback, especially if Kirk Cousins leave. Like, you better walk out of this draft with a quarterback, like one way or the other. And you know what? Like, I know some people are like, well, you could just take Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix in round two. I don't want either of them. Like, those two quarterbacks, red flags everywhere, because I know Nix, he's very accurate or whatever, but I mean, it was check down city over in Oregon. And, you know, Michael Penix has the arm talent, but his knees are like ribs in an air fryer. Like, I'll keep... You know, what's that YouTube video, you know, where it's like the guy's in a parking lot. He's like, fall off the bone. It's free. And he just like shakes the bone and the meat falls off. Like that's basically Michael Penn. The guy's had like four season ending injuries. Like I don't want
due to his knees.
Yeah. Like his knees, his shoulder,
shoulders,
like
both shoulders.
It's like the knees, shoulders, ears and toes or like whatever. Like Jesus. But yeah, I mean, go up, get your guy, be aggressive, and get it done, most importantly, because especially if Kirk leaves, it goes back to Jefferson. Because we've heard right. Jefferson talk about, hey, I want to get paid, but he also wants to catch the ball from a functional quarterback. A deal with Jefferson's going to get done, right? They're not going to wind up trading him, do you think?
I would like to say yes, it would get done, but he's a huge trade piece. If the Patriots are like, you can have the third pick and you only have to give us your first round pick from this year, but you need to give us Justin Jefferson, I would trade him in a heartbeat. One, they already have Jordan Addison, so that's fine. They have a, he can step up and be the number one guy. You can sign somebody. You can draft somebody. They have a second round pick. Puka Nacua was drafted in what, the fifth round? I know you're not going to find Puka Nacua every year, but I'm just saying, like, you can still find guys if you draft right. But yeah, if a team like Washington, or it has to be one of those two teams, it has to be Washington or New England, who's like, you need to trade Jefferson us if you want this pick. Otherwise, I don't think there's a team out there that can offer them a trade that will give them the right amount of compensation to make up for his loss. Because you just look at like all the teams that win championships and Super Bowls, how many of them have like the best receiver in the NFL? Like Tyreek Hill is probably regarded as like arguably the best receiver in the NFL. Dolphins, what do? They lost in what, the first round of the playoffs? Devontae Adams, when he was the number one guy with the Packers, they never made the Super Bowl. There's just guys every year where you're like, they're the best receiver. And it's like, okay, but that they get the ball like max 10 times a game. Quarterback touches the ball 60 times a game. So yeah, I think if it's Washington or if it's New England, then I think you really consider training him. Otherwise, I think he'll probably sign a deal.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Deal in the summertime, and I think that'll give plenty of time people to freak out that he hasn't signed a deal yet, so it'll be lots of fun.
Yeah, most of those extensions don't get done until like right before the franchise tag deadline,
after June 1st.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of teams kind of want to know, okay, what are we spending in free agency, what are we doing in the draft, what are we doing all these other things. You know, I disagree with you. I think they should keep Justin Jefferson, because I feel like if you make that trade for two or three, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Because, I mean, Jordan Addison's really good. Like, I like him. I like him more as a number two than a number one. Like, I know he had a couple of big plays in the Niners game.
He did.
But he tailed off towards the end. His defense is adjusted to him.
Well, who is throwing him the ball?
Well, that too. But I mean, they both matter.
Right.
I mean, who you're getting the ball from. I mean, you won't have Kirk Cousins next year, apparently. So,
well, right, but you'll get a top prospect, quarterback prospect. So,
and you also have to look at TJ Hockenson's hurt,
right?
And he may not be ready before training camp. So, I mean, do you want Jordan Addison to be your 1, 2, and 3 option in the passing game? Like I don't think so. Yeah, you know, the KJ Osborne thing on Radio Row is like funny, because you brought this up to me too. It was kind of like when your wife runs into her friends and you're like, just like
you're on the side.
So you're just like sitting there, just kind of looking around the bar. I wouldn't know what this is.
Oh,
this
is my husband. Have you met him? Oh, hi, nice to meet you.
And then they try and get you in the conversation, and it's just like a way the fuck out there question. Yeah. Stuff like that. I don't know. I think you pay Justin Jefferson. I also think that Jefferson is in a different situation than the previous receivers the Vikings traded. Like, Stephon Diggs was not the face of the franchise when he got traded to Buffalo. He had the miracle play, but he, you know, wasn't the guy. Like, the same thing goes with Percy Harvin. A lot of people liked him, but Adrian Peterson was the face of the franchise. Like, I think there would be a massive PR hit if they traded Jefferson. And like, the only way that I would consider it, and I said this on Twitter and nobody really, I mean, one guy was kind of like, what are you talking about? If he goes in, he's like, I will only play with Kirk Cousins, I trade him. Like, I trade him.
What?
Because it's just that? Like, okay, yeah. Well, we're going to try and get you a new quarterback. And I guess if that's not good, yeah, we'll just move on and we'll just kind of rebuild from there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you look at the contracts too that Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell are on. They got 2 years left. And last year is always a lame duck year in the NFL. So do you want to do that without Justin Jefferson? I don't think they do.
Right. So, I think, was it Doogie, Darren Wolfson, that threw out that Kevin O'Connell is probably going to get an extension this offseason? I think I saw that. Which I don't even know how I feel about that because they haven't won a playoff game yet. And they finished 7-10. But I just, I do like Kevin O'Connell and his style and what how he's turned around the culture or whatever. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think they just should have signed him to a longer deal to begin with, not just 4 years. You can't, like, feel like you're putting yourself in a bad position to begin with. You give a coach 4 years, cause then they don't even have a chance to be like, okay, we can take a step back for a year or two. No, they couldn't do that because they're like, if they do that, then we're like, oh, we only have 2 years left on our deal. If we fail, here we are.
So. And I think I heard something too, that the Wolves did that because they, you know, the Brad Childress thing backfired, where they signed him to an extension and they had to fire him like immediately, and they wound up
paying him. They just extended Zimmer too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So that's why they did the short term thing. And I think too, they also wanted to make sure they were super competitive, in their words, which I don't know.
So they didn't hire Jim Harbaugh.
It's super weird because, like, what is competitive? What is the what I want to know. What is the Vikings definite? Because, like, you know, I got into a Twitter spat with Luke Braun of Locked On yesterday. And he was like, you go out there and you compete. You know, you compete no matter what and whatever. And I'm like, for the players, yeah, I completely agree with that. But I think Luke is confusing.
On the Vikings coaching staff?
Yeah, I mean, I think Luke is confusing, you know, wanting to lose a game for like a slightly better draft pick when you're pretty much out of it, with everybody here just either wants to win the Super Bowl or tank and nothing in between. Like, not, you know, if they go like 2022, 13 wins, everybody was like, you know, and he brought this up too. Everybody was pissed off by the time they got to the playoffs because they weren't this dominant team, but they were pulling the letter. And I'm like, well, shit, it was still fun. Like, I enjoyed it all the way. Like, I think some people just think like we don't enjoy the season when they win because, and I mean, sometimes it's frustrating. It's like, okay, why are we 9-7 again? Why aren't we like crushing teams? Why aren't we like, that's okay to get frustrated in year 6 of the Kirk Cousins experiment. Like, I want to know what their definition of competitive is because I don't know what it is.
I was thinking about this kind of on my way to pick up my son a little while ago, about how I think the most impressive thing the Wolves have done during their ownership is convince Vikings fans that this has been a successful franchise. It's not. They're not successful. They haven't been to the Super Bowl in 47 years. They haven't won 2 playoff games in one season since 1987. They've only won 2 playoff games since 1987. That's more than 30 years ago. So, like, teams that have been to the Super Bowl since then is like the Panthers, the Cardinals, the every team, like, has been to the Super Bowl. The Titans.
Yeah, you want two, like, stats that are funny?
The Bears. What?
So one stat is there are only 2 teams since like 1990.
Yeah, I know yeah, this one.
Whatever. Yeah, they're the Lions, who were in the NFC Championship game, and the Vikings. And then also the Eagles and the Vikings have the same amount of playoff wins inside US Bank Stadium.
Yeah, but like that's my point. The Wolves come in every year like, oh, we want to be competitive. And, you know, it's our tradition. Winning's our tradition and champion. What are you talking about? You guys are 500 almost every year. Like, do something that turns this franchise around instead of being like, oh, we love winning. And that's a lie. This team is not successful. They haven't been successful in a long time. They were successful when Bud Grant was the coach in the 70s and the team was dominating everybody. That's it. Since then, they have not been successful. So all this talk about, you know, tradition with the Vikings and how success, they're one of the most successful teams that hasn't won a Super. No, they're not. They are not. So I think some major changes need to happen. And I don't know if they're going to happen with this ownership, because I just don't think that they want them to take those big risks that you sometimes need to get to that level of success that they claim that they are or claim that they desire. So that's my big rant for the day that I just had to get off my chest.
It's nice. I know when I'm going to put on social channels later. I was actually just making a note of the timestamp because
I saw that.
So let's move on. Speaking of some of those changes, we wanted to talk about kind of as a kickstart to the offseason, some of the Vikings needs outside of quarterback. Like, obviously we know, hey, they got to get this Kirk Cousins thing's figured out. They got to find a quarterback and whatever. But we wanted to figure out what needs outside of quarterback need to be filled by the time they start the 2024 season. So some guy on the YouTube comments said I talk too much. So I'm going to let you go first. What do you think is the biggest non-quarterback need for the Vikings this offseason?
I think this was in your article. So it was edge rusher, because Danielle Hunter, I think I just saw a report today where he's going to have a big market and a team like the Bears are interested in him. That would suck so much if he left and landed with the Bears and you still had to see him twice a year. But yeah, edge rusher, because Danielle Hunter's leaving. You're not bringing back Marcus Davenport. DJ Wanham just tore his quad. So who do you have? Patrick Jones too? And Andre Carter, like those are your pass rushers. So yeah, they need that. I don't know how they're going to get that, whether they want to do that in the draft or they want to maybe spend a little extra money to get someone like Josh Allen in free agency. Like, if they want to just invest heavily in something like that and then spend the free agency on smaller pieces elsewhere, I think that'd be interesting. Underrated need, kicker. Greg Joseph, not a good kicker. So please do not bring him back. I think he's ranked in the bottom 25 of kicking percentage in the last two seasons. No. So please don't bring him back. There's some guys that are significantly better than him available in free agency this year. Or if you want to sign someone who's an undrafted kicker, like just don't bring Greg Joseph back, please. Please don't. And then I think, you know, a third receiver is important. Someone who maybe is a little better than KJ Osborne. I feel like maybe, this guy might not be open to this role, but Odell Beckham Jr., he seems like he's kind of on the downside of his career. He's played in the Kevin O'Connell offense before. He's friends with Justin Jefferson. So I think that might be an interesting option in that. And then running back. And there's a lot of options to choose from this year. I don't think they should, you know, go out and pay for like a Josh Jacobs or a Saquon Barkley. But I think someone maybe like a Tony Pollard or a Devin Singletary are options for them to consider. Just someone who, you know, if you're not going to roll with Ty Chandler, and you still want to keep Alexander Mattison involved somehow, just someone who's more equipped to just be more productive on the field than Alexander Mattison, because he just wasn't. So yeah, I think that's it. And maybe what, corner? But yeah. I like Mekhi Blackmon, and I think Byron Murphy did well. So I don't know, depth wise, I think they probably just need a corner. Oh, and then defensive lineman, obviously. You know, Harrison Phillips he's good, but I think they just ask him to do too much. So they need someone who's, you know, a little bit better in the middle there. Chris Jones would be a great addition, but doesn't sound like it sounds like he wants to return to Kansas City and try and win three in a row there. Unless someone offers him, what, $30 million a year, which I don't think that'd be a good idea for a 30-year-old defensive lineman if the Vikings did that. So there's a lot of needs other than quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it right off the top, like edge rusher. Danielle Hunter, obviously a free agent. DJ Wanham's hurt. Marcus Davenport didn't do much. He's not coming back. And there's also that report that Hunter's been thrown on the back burner while they figure out Kirk Cousins' contract. I don't think I'd be real happy with that if I were Mr. Hunter, especially after, you know, Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid with that contract. It's like, all right, I'm going to go to a team that actually wants me to be here. So, I mean, you know, that's a situation where if you do stay at 11 and, like, let's say you think J.J. McCarthy is going to be there at the back end of the first round or something,
yep.
You know, maybe you take Dallas Turner from Alabama or Jared Verse, guys that were projected top five picks at the beginning of the season, and get those edge rushers and plug them in. Maybe you pay a free agent because you'll have a couple more extra bucks, especially if you let Hunter and Cousins walk. I mean, even if he comes back, Hunter can't do it by himself, and you might not have him. So I think that's the number one need outside of quarterback the Vikings have to solve. You mentioned it as well, and I'm going to shout out Big E, WWE Superstar, for this one, because we need big men with big chests and big muscles. We need some meat. You big meaty men slapping meat. We need, like, he talked about the Meaty Man Invitational, where he would, like, go around, like, Edmund Man to, like, people's. Yes. Just a whole bunch of big dudes. He needs to do that for our Vikings defensive tackle. Like, knock on their door, say, sir, you have been selected. You have been selected to see who is the girthiest, meatiest man on God's green earth. Because this team needs an interior defensive lineman so freaking bad. Like, we used to be a proper society where we just had a big motherfucker in the middle of the defense and he just moved people around. Like, when
Jerry
we grew
Ball.
Up, John Randall, right? Yeah. Like, John Randall was insane. It was awesome. That's what drew us in when we were kids. Then we had the Williams wall. We had Pat Williams and Kevin Williams, and they just stuffed everybody's run game. Then we had Linval Joseph came in. Yeah, the Linval sit, baby. He was moving people around. And somewhere we lost our way. Somewhere we're just like, let's just have them take up double teams. And like, I will never forget this. Andre Patterson, this video, he's like sitting there being interviewed on BEN, and he like looks for the camera. He's like, where's the camera? He's like, Shamar Stephen is the real deal. And like, he didn't do anything. Like, we need somebody that can move people around. I know in Brian Flores' defense, like, he wants them just to take up blockers and something. And there might be some like film guy like, well, actually, when you look at it, Harrison Phillips was a big part of this off. No, dude, give me a 340-pound big dude to just be
just
a
push him back.
You were talking about Chris Jones. He was in the backfield constantly on Sunday. Like, you need interior pressure. And I mean, it just, you know, we Jaleel Johnson, Jaqueline Roy, like all of these dudes, like, what do you do here? Like, Kyrus Tonga, he was okay, but I mean, Jonathan Bullard was a disaster. Like, is Dean Lowry on the team even? Does he like go on the field, or does he just like chill? Like,
yeah, they need like a Kenny Clark or a Dexter Lawrence, like that guy who just pushes blockers into the laps of quarterbacks. Like, they need a guy who, when Garrett Bradbury has to line up across from him, is just peeing his pants because he's just like, shit, I'm about to get rocked because Kenny Clark's in front of me. And so is Dexter Lawrence. They need a giant person in the middle of their defense. They also need giant people on their offensive line too. Like, I think people are assuming Dalton Risner is going to come back next year. There's no guarantee that he's coming back. What if he wants, like, you know, $15 million, $10 million a year, which he could get. He played well last year. So, I mean, he could get probably a good amount of money on the open market. I know he likes it here or whatever, but that doesn't really matter if you don't give a guy what he wants in terms of money. I like the Vikings. You know, Linval did what he did, but it kind of tailed off at the end. I don't think they've had a really good interior defensive line, like, since you said, like, since the Williams wall with Kevin and Pat and their whatever stuff they were taking that made them go on trial. I'm sorry, I didn't have to put that in there.
No, it's all good. Like, I don't know. It just drives me insane. That's all I need. Yeah. Like, I just, like, if they went ahead at 11 and took, like, Jerzon Newton out of Illinois or Byron Murphy II, which would be really confusing for everybody, but he's also really good. He could be a guy in the middle, like, big meaty men slapping meat. That's what I want in honor of Big E. I need a big dude just to blow stuff up in the middle of that defensive line. You mentioned it as well. Running backs. I mean, running backs don't matter until you don't have one, right? Like, everybody's like, well, you could just go down to the community college and plug them in and he'll just be fine. And like,
not in Kevin O'Connell's offense.
Yeah. Alexander Mattison didn't have a rushing touchdown last year. And the last running back to do that was Melvin Gordon, but he was in his rookie season. Like, he's not good. Ty Chandler, I know there's a lot of Ty Chandler truthers out there. The coaching staff just doesn't trust him. And I mean, there are too many mistakes on the field. And like, can you iron them out? And, you know, Cam Akers and Dwayne McBride, they're just guys. I mean, like,
is it coaching? Do we think is that the problem? Is it coaching? Is it
scheme? So they talk about this a little bit. And I think I've heard this a little bit in Los Angeles with Sean McVay. They went from a zone scheme to a gap scheme.
Yeah.
And it basically just unlocked their running game. So I wonder too, and this ties into your guard thing too. They don't really have like a mean streak in the trenches. Like, they just they're going to move around and they're going to do that. Like, they just need dudes. Like, I'm going to be a homer by saying this, but I've heard his draft stock is better than people think. Mason McCormick out of South Dakota State.
South Dakota.
Left guard. He wears a neck roll.
Isn't there a Minnesota kid too?
I don't know about this year, but Mason's got this 1 minute montage of him just pancaking people to kickstart my heart. And it's amazing. So you should go check it out. But that's the type of player the Vikings need. They need like this gnarly kind of, great sound effect. But I mean, just a dude who's just pissed off, and they need dudes that can move people. Like, this team is just I want to see a team missing teeth and sock somebody in the mouth, because I don't know, every time this team gets kicked around, and maybe that's because of the quarterback, they just ball up in the fetal position. So
they ever had offensive linemen like that? I guess Steve Hutchinson is probably like that. Yeah.
I mean, that 2009 offensive line, they didn't take too much shit. Like
Brian McKinney, Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Who was on
Brian McKinney? I mean,
who's
I
tackle.
Who was the right tackle?
It was Charles Johnson.
Phil Lode Holt.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, he was that was rookie year, because Percy Harvin was round one and Phil Lode Holt was round two.
Okay.
So he came right in. Other guys, I'll just run through this here quick. Corners, I think they need one. They have a bunch of just guys, and Murphy's all right, but I think he's better in the slot. Blackman's all right too, but he kind of got exposed at the end of the year. Caleb Evans, I think he's more of a depth guy than an actual starter.
Yeah, what happened to him?
It really fell off at the end of the year. He was getting benched. Like Brian Flores was starting to bench him in the last couple of games. Alec Lewis of the Athletic actually mentioned Quinyon Mitchell, a Toledo cornerback, as a possibility. He is projected to be a first round pick, however, so I don't know how the Vikings would.
I was going to say, I'll tell you, if they draft a corner with pick 11, I'm going to be pretty pissed off.
what would be, is corner like number one,
I think so.
If they took Torrey Taylor out of Iowa, punter Torrey Taylor, just like punting is winning. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. I mean, there's obvious ones like kicker and punter. I don't think are there even any first round running backs this year?
There's not really. I mean, Texas like a Bijan is good. Like, yeah, there's not a Bijan in this draft.
Or Jameer Gibbs. Corner would probably, or I guess an inside linebacker to replace Jordan Hicks. That probably pissed me off too. Because as we've seen, you can find someone off the street, like Ivan Pace, undrafted. You didn't need to spend a draft pick on him. So yeah, inside linebacker and corner, if that's pick number 11, you can light Kwesi Z on fire, because it's going to be super hot.
So yeah, I mean, that's all I got. I got third wide receiver. You mentioned that. And interior offensive line. So that's all we need. That's all we need to compete with the Chiefs. We were right there.
Are there positions you would rather have them target in free agency than the draft? Because I think draft, you could still go receiver, because the third receiver. And those guys pick it up pretty quick.
And receivers are expensive in free agency. If you get by a free, think of all the the under the radar signings at Kendall Wright. Like, remember when he had, what was his name? White guy from the Broncos.
Taylor.
Jordan Taylor. Is that his name?
Yeah.
I was trying to think of what his first name was.
He made a one-handed catch in practice.
No TAs. He stole the show. Yeah. Then he was cut in the first week. He didn't even make a preseason game. He was just gone.
There's been a lot. They sign one of those guys every year where they're like, oh yeah, we got this guy. He got five catches for the Giants last year. He's going to be a third receiver. It's like, what? Edge rusher, you could probably get in the draft. That'd probably be easier. Corner, I think you should probably go veteran, because it's pretty hard to adjust as a rookie when you're a corner. Mekhi Blackman did well, but that's not the norm, I don't think.
You know, if this is a pipe dream and he might get tagged, or both these guys might get tagged now that I think of it, there are interior defensive linemen that you can get in free agency. Christian Wilkins is going to be a guy. Miami's got cap problems. He might hit the open market. And Justin Madubuike from Baltimore is another pass rushing defensive tackle at the Viking. I mean, they're not going to be cheap, but
I feel like I'm going to be surprised if Wilkins doesn't end up with the Vikings because of Flores. I think
that
something's going to have to go wrong for that to not to happen. I think that's probably you can put good money on that. That's probably going to happen.
If he got, the only way I could see it going sideways is if he got tagged. Like if he hits the open market and the Vikings aren't calling him.
And but. I don't think the Dolphins, I think they're way over the salary cap, so I don't even think they can afford to tag anyone this year.
Let me look here.
They're like $20 million over.
You can tell I've done this a lot because when I type in over the cap, it just goes just right like, to the salary cap space. It's kind of nice. Yeah, they're $51 million over the salary cap. So franchise tag is probably out the window.
Not tagging.
Tag them and we'll figure it out.
Because what
the Vikings like.
Because that tag's probably like $20 million now, right? Defensive.
Yeah. Line. Weren't the Vikings over like $10 million for like five last days after the deadline, and we're just like sitting there like so are they making a move or
because we knew they made a bunch of moves, like they signed Josh Oliver and did a bunch of stuff, and then they're like, oh yeah, we did all this stuff. So yeah, I think what are the Saints like $90 million over?
Yeah, let's see what we got.
How
here.
Does that even happen?
Yeah, the Saints the Saints have are $87 million over the cap in effective cap space. The Dolphins are next at $58 million in effect. So effective cap space is your top 53 players, and it counts for how many draft picks you got to sign and all that stuff. Then you have the Bills. They're $54 million. Chargers, $55 million. And then the Broncos are $27 million. Cowboys, $22 million. Browns, $20 million.
I don't think I realized the Bills are like, whoa.
Yeah, the Bills are. That's why they're talking about trading Diggs. Diggs and Mike Zimmer are going to have a reunion down in Dallas, who also has no money. But okay, we'll just see how things go there. They're going to kick money down into like 2024 or not 2024, 2044 or whatever. Get that Mike McCarthy thing going.
With the salary cap, we know it can be manipulated. It really comes down to how much money the owner has and if they're willing to spend actual cash. That's really what it comes down to. And I'm going to guess Jerry Jones has a good amount of cash.
Do you think he just shows up to like contract negotiations with like a briefcase?
A briefcase. Like,
this right here, this can be all yours. And it's all under the table. But just a little Joe Smith.
It's all stock and Pepsi. Deal.
You know about Joe Smith, right? Timberwolves?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Seven first round draft picks or whatever the hell that was.
That's not someone I would have risked all that for. Joe Smith.
You know, and it's hilarious looking back on it too. It's just like, we're gonna make an example of this team. Like, if this were the Lakers like trying to keep somebody around, would they have done the same thing? Or we'll just take your first rounder this year. And
well, it was like the Chiefs last night. I was watching the game and Travis Kelce was motioning, and I think it might have been overtime in the fourth quarter, and he clearly just wasn't set at all. He was just still moving and they hiked the ball, and I'm like, what?
K-Tru somewhere on his couch just, going like, hey.
Yeah. Kadarius Tony's like, what?
What? He's offside. What is this? This is dumb. Oh man. Let's wrap things up here, man. What's going on at the Viking Age?
Well, we just put out a mock draft. Luke Parrish just put out a mock draft today, where he landed Drake May, traded up to number 5 pick, I believe, with the Chargers. Got that pick. He also made a bunch of other trades too. So it's an interesting mock draft, full 7 rounds. Go check that out. I think another one of our writers, Cole, just wrote about some players the Vikings could trade for to become a contender again. You know, they did win, you know, they weren't terrible last year, so if they make the right adjustments, they can get right back in the thick of things next year. If you know they do things right and they stay healthy. And then I'm working on tonight to go up in the morning a bit of a wish list for the Vikings in free agency. Not guys necessarily that I think are going to land with the Vikings, but guys that are in positions of need that they would just love. One year I did when they needed a corner, I did Patrick Peterson, not even thinking they had a chance to land him, and then he signed with them. So sometimes it works out, and Chris Jones is on the list, but I like I said, I don't think he's going to be leaving Kansas City unless someone gives him a crazy offer. And then we're just getting it's officially the off season. We are, the next big event is the scouting combine, and that'll be here end of the month, be here before we know it. And we're definitely going to find out a lot more stuff about Kirk Cousins then, because that's when his agent and the Vikings are probably going to meet and be like, hey, what are we doing? Can we figure this out? We'll find a lot more. Justin Jefferson, you know, there's obviously going to be stuff to talk about that. You know, there'll probably be more trade rumors and stuff. It's the off season. This is, I love the off season. It's fun. It's just fun to speculate. Cause some people like to say that's all we have as Vikings fans, just speculate in the off season. So.
Just hope and pray until Vikings sign Kirk Cousins to a 3-year fully guaranteed ironclad contract. And you know,
I hate those, like, not aggregators, but like, you're dying over here. You said Kirk Gunn's name and just his magic came through. Those aggregators who will retweet the old Kirk Cousins graphics of like, we've extended Kirk. And I'm just like, stop. Yeah. Don't do that.
My buddy sent me one of those the other day and I was like, yeah, it's an old one. I've seen this before. I know it's happening. Oh, man. Very quickly, where can people follow you on social media, Adam?
Adam Patrick NFL. On Threads, X. I haven't posted any videos yet, but also on TikTok now. So we'll see. We'll see what I do with that.
You can check him out at all of those places. I am at The Real Krishad, Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever you call it, TikTok, Threads, whatever you
Pinterest. Got it.
I am there. No Pinterest yet. But that's why I say, yeah, I don't know. You got to go where the market is. That's basically how it goes. But that's all the time we have for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Adam Patrick, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.